Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, astound us beyond measure. Open our ears. Open our eyes afresh to the light of your word. And open our hearts afresh by your wonderful love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Jesus was not looking for a ministry opportunity. In Mark chapter 7 verse 24, he just wanted a rest. He was trying to keep a low profile. Mark says he entered the house secretly. He didn't want anyone to know where he was. He was not looking to engage with people at that time. He went into his billet to refresh and recharge and enjoy some downtime in seclusion. But somebody found him. In our weeks in John 6, we saw the same thing. Jesus had taken his disciples up a mountain, the usual thing he did when he wanted a time of rest and seclusion. He took them up a mountain to prepare for the Passover. But the crowd finds him. And so he engages and teaches them, and then miraculously feeds them, a crowd of 5,000. After that, even tireder than before, even more ready for a rest, under cover of darkness, he sneaks across the lake walking on water. But the crowd still finds him. "How did you get here?" they say. That's when Jesus disperses the crowd and loses many of his fans and followers with all his teaching about, "I am the bread of life, and you must eat my flesh and drink my blood to have life and be raised up at the last day." And then the crowd is fewer in number for him to contend with. Similarly, in Mark chapter 7, Jesus is trying to find a secret bolt hold for some respite when his presence is discovered. And his planned moment of rest is interrupted by a Syro-Phoenician woman begging for help for her daughter suffering from a demonic spirit. It's a shocking moment because in response to this poor, desperate woman whose child is tormented, she's begging him on her knees, did you notice? Jesus insults her with an epithet that Jews used as a racial slur against Gentiles. They called them dogs. Jesus knew he had been sent at this point to the lost sheep of Israel. And it sounds like he doesn't want that mission or his rest to be interrupted. "No," he says, "I must first feed the children. It isn't right to take the children's food and throw it to dogs." At this point, it sounds like a story against Jesus. A rude, racist, and heartless response to a desperate call for help. That doesn't sound like Jesus. Did he really say that? Let me pause that story, and I'll tell you another story. Now, this also is a true story. It happened to me a number of years ago, and it's a story against myself, really. But in my defense, I was much younger at the time, and I have got better since. But don't tell anybody. This is just for your ears. I was between two pastorates, and I was just spending the summer having a rest, away from people, away from ministry, just enjoying some quiet downtime. And a couple of mates came around one evening, and we were going out for a nice, quiet beer at an old English pub. Lovely. A quiet beer. Just the three of us. Except that when we got there, the pub was heaving. There was only one table left, and it was a table for eight. So we sat there. The other five seats were quickly filled by a bunch of noisy strangers. So already my evening had been spoiled. But then it got worse. The stranger sitting next to us suddenly, out of nowhere, apropos of nothing, turns to us and says, "How is it that life can change so quickly? How is it," he said, "that one week you can be happy? You've got a job, a wife, a kid, a home, and you're happy. And the very next week, it's all a mess and you've got nothing." To my shame, and I was much younger, I was thinking, "Phil, Steve, don't engage. Don't engage, not our problem. I just wanted a beer. I was not looking for a ministry opportunity." But Steve did engage and asked him what was wrong. And a story of sadness and distress ensued. And then from out of the blue, this stranger asked us, "Do you believe in God?" "Yes, we do, as it happens," said Steve. And then the stranger says, "Do you know any of those Christian songs?" And he sang the line of a song of worship. "Yes, we do," said Steve. "In fact, Paul writes songs. He's actually got his guitar in the car." Meanwhile, I'm still mentally protesting, "Steve, we're here for a beer." And then the stranger said, "Could we sing one of those?" So we took our beers, got the guitar, and sat down at the canal side by the old stone bridge and quietly sang some songs of worship. And a crowd gathered. I'm not making this up. This really happened. A crowd gathered. We sang, we prayed, and that was the end of the evening. Steve kept up with that guy. They corresponded for 2 years as Jamie, because that was his name, gradually rebuilt his life and found faith in Jesus through that friendship. Steve seized the opportunity. His responsiveness reached out to a person in need. His human kindness reached out when I didn't want my peace disturbed, when I didn't wish to condescend to help, when I wanted a rest. But there's a PS to that story. About 3 years later, I was in that town again, visiting a friend's church, when a woman approached me and said, "I know you." "Ever so sorry," I said, "I can't quite place you." "I know who you are," she said. "You're that bloke who sits outside pubs singing Christian songs, aren't you?" "I've got to tell you," she said, "3 years ago, I was out for a walk with my boy, who was 10 years old at the time, and we stopped and listened by the old stone bridge over the canal at the George. My boy was transfixed. He didn't want to go home. He was quiet all the way home as we walked home. And when we got home, I said, 'You're quiet, Robert. What's the matter?' And my son said, 'Mum, I want to be a Christian.' It was a very important day in my son's life." How many opportunities do we miss when we're too focused or too concerned with our own needs or not wanting our peace to be disturbed or our agendas to be interrupted? What opportunities do we miss? I wonder. Initially, it looks like Jesus is not going to deign to minister to this desperate woman pleading for the life of her child. She's the wrong kind of person, a Gentile, a Greek, from the Roman province of Syria. She might be desperate. Her child's life might be in danger, but Jesus' first response is that he will staunchly stick to his mission from the Father to the children of Israel. He appears to say, let charity begin at home. No, he says, let us first feed the children. I believe he means the children of Israel. It is not right to take the children's food and throw it to foreigners, to dogs. Yes, sir, she says, but do not the dogs get to eat the leftovers that fall from the children's table? And hearing her boldness, her courage, and her faith in Jesus, Jesus heals the girl. He sets her free from demonic oppression. And so the story of Christianity in Lebanon and Syria begins. Today, will we allow the needs of others to interrupt our agendas and disturb our peace? Or will we mind ourselves, saying, don't engage, not our problem? This Syrian woman's descendants, also desperate for the lives of their children, also begging, also afflicted. Are they the wrong kind of people? Or an opportunity for human kindness, for a response to desperation and courage and faith? Though at first abrupt and distant, Jesus let the intrusion, the interruption, the stranger become a story of deliverance and healing. To us as individuals, to us as a nation, will strangers, foreigners, people in need, the wrong kind of people, intrusions, interruptions, remain only that? Or will they become for us the beginning of a story of healing? In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.